More music from the Osborne Brothers coming up when New Country returns after this short break.
Wish that I was on a rocky top down in the Tennessee hills. Ain't no smoggy smoke on rocky top, ain't no telephone bill. Once I had a girl on rocky top, half by the other half cat.
Music from the Osborne Brothers coming up when New Country returns.
Congratulations, you're a part of the revolution.
It's the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction.
The place where we want to hear from Big Orange Country about today's game. To get online now,
865-200-5402.
865-200-5402.
And now, let's get to your host, Tony Basilio.
Coming to you live from I-40 as we're making our way back from Cassie's tonight, where we had a listener watch party. I'll be in the Raymere studio shortly. Tennessee improving to 7-4 on the year with a rather resounding and, if I can use the term, uneventful win on the road against a team with a lot to play for. One of the scenarios I threw up on my Wednesday blog this week was I went through five possible scenarios for this game, five ways I saw the game playing out, and one of them was that the offensive challenge nature of Missouri would come home to roost and that they would basically be out of it. They would be out of the game. They'd be out of emotion. Tennessee tonight, when they got up 9-0, that was the ball game. You watch enough college football, you come to realize that when you get an opponent and you get an opportunity to step on the neck, you've got to do it. And Tennessee did that tonight, kept the game in front of them. They ran the football. Hurd had a big night. Nothing crazy. No crazy turnovers. They managed the game in front of them. Now, some will say the Vols didn't finish drives. Hey, look, playing a very good defense. You're on the road. It's cold. I say team 7-4. And if you look around college football today, it's a game of you just never know. Tennessee certainly a superior team talent-wise to Missouri, yet you look at Missouri and you say to yourself, here's a team playing for a coach. Here's a team with all that political turmoil on its campus. Here's a team that had a lot of the intangibles coming into tonight. And Tennessee was very workmanlike from the very beginning defensively. Perhaps their most complete effort of the year. And again, it's against an opponent that's very challenged offensively. Locke tonight had no chance. Tennessee had the key at every turn. Every time it looked like Locke had a little bit of life, Tennessee took him. And that was that. So the Vols with a win. We will celebrate into the wee small hours. I will hear from you at 865-200-5402. An amazing night at Cazzy's. Let me tell you how great this fan base is. I'm gonna bring Bino the Great in here. Share a few minutes, and then I'll take a few calls here coming up. Probably be a few minutes on the phone calls. Just you got to bear with me here. I'm just going to be honest with you here. Let me get home, and then we'll go through this thing. I'll bring Bino in without further ado, though. Bino, a workmanlike win for the Volunteers. Nothing flashy. Nothing fancy. For people who like style points, I don't think tonight's game had it. I thought it may have been Tennessee's most complete game of the year, considering every aspect of the game. And what I mean is, you're playing on the road, you're playing in the cold, they dominated offensively. They dominated on special teams. And Medley tonight had a key hand, and then Tennessee's coverage teams were very good. And then you had a defensive performance, in my mind, albeit against a very mediocre to bad offense, but Tennessee made Missouri look like a team that did not belong in the Southeastern Conference, and that's simply not the way Missouri played their last time out against an okay opponent in BYU. Boy, Tennessee was really impressive, I thought, Bino, in all three phases. Even though they didn't finish drives tonight, that's the lone criticism of tonight's game in my mind. I thought that was a really impressive, workmanlike, upper-level type of victory by the Vols tonight. Your thoughts?
Tony used the exact descriptive term that I would have used. I mean, Tennessee went into what could have been an emotionally charged situation, and they just diffused it with, and there's no other word to use, just a workmanlike effort. And that's the way you diffuse a situation like that. They had a good game plan. They executed mostly mistake-free. They managed the game appropriately with the lead all the way through, and they came away with just a very good win.
Yeah, and I'm damn proud of that win.
because I'm going to tell you something. It didn't look like it throughout the game, but in my opinion, and it's just me, degree of difficulty wise, that was Tennessee's best win of the football season. Now, somebody would say to me, Tony, how can you say that when they beat a ranked Georgia team at the time in their own stadium in the midst of that losing skid? Well, here's how I'm going to say it. Tonight's game is on the road. It's in the cold, the first time Tennessee's faced that element all year. It's a night game. It's Gary Pinkel's last game. It was a game played against the backdrop of what went on there, Beano, a week and a half ago. And I can honestly say with a straight face that I think all those factors make tonight's game, in my opinion, a more impressive win than the win over Georgia. In fact, I'll go you one better. Because it was on the road, because it was night at night, because it was in the cold, because they kept the game in front of them, because it was managed responsibly, I think it's Butch Jones' best win as a Tennessee head coach to this point.
I would agree completely, Tony. And the difference in the two games is we won in a fashion in which we've been losing. It would have been real easy for Tennessee to say, oh, no, here we go again. And I know Missouri's offense is pedestrian. But we managed the clock, and even on their scoring drive, we made them use an extra 3+ minutes with just a goal line stand down there. I agree with you totally. It's a situation where we've been losing, and we did the things that we didn't do in those games that we lost.
And, you know, I know some people are going to say, hey, wait a second here. You guys are glowing about a game where Tennessee couldn't get in the end zone. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. Because I consider the opponent, Missouri's very good. They run well. Josh Dobbs is not an excellent passer of the football. In fact, I'm not even sure he's a very good passer of the football, if he's even a good passer of the football. But Tennessee tonight kept the game in front of them. Didn't do anything crazy. One thing in tonight's game, the one criticism I'll have of Coach Jones is when you've got an early 9-0 lead in that game and you got a chance to add 3 on a short field goal, don't go out there and screw around with some we're going to draw you offsides fake. Kick the field goal, take 3 more points, and keep tacking them on. Because what they did when they fooled around with that fake that they really had no intention of running, they were trying to draw Missouri offside. This is my opinion now. I think what you do there is you ice your kicker. And I don't think that's ever a worthwhile strategy. I'd like your thoughts on that.
No, I think you're right, Tony. I believe we iced our own kicker and we used a timeout. It turned out that we didn't need. We were able to score with the last drive of the first half, even without it. But and we may be nitpicking a little bit, but I agree there.
Yeah.
And although Tennessee didn't take full advantage of scoring opportunities, that's the only time that they were down there where they could score when they didn't. They got points every time they got in there, except for that one.
I want to brag on our fan base here as I began the night. First of all, a tremendous showing tonight up in Missouri. I'm sure we'll hear from a ton of people who will be making their way back or making their way at least a couple hours away from that area. And we will have you tonight into the wee small hours. Also, I want to brag on the folks that showed up at Cassie's tonight. We absolutely jam-packed that place. You know, easily 85 to 100 people got turned away tonight. And I hate to see that happen, but there was just wasn't any room. And it was, I hate that anybody got turned away tonight. I in my heart, I want you to understand me here if you're listening, and this was you. I hate that that happened. I hate in my heart that that happened. I apologize to you. I say I appreciate you. I say our fan base is just too responsive. And really, we've been blessed being with such an active, loyal audience through the years, and telling my son Anthony, who's driving me back right now, that in a perfect world, we do a listen and watch party every day, every game we had. That's how much I enjoy that. So I was telling my son.
You know,
Bino, it's incredible. I mean, they turned away Bino. They turned away enough people tonight in that place that would have filled most restaurants in Knoxville. That's how loyal our fan base is. That's how loyal folks were to gather as a listening audience and as a Tennessee family. And it was just, man, it's just touching. I don't know what else to say. It's just touching.
Yeah, this is a great fan base, Tony. And we're, you know, we've been so blessed with how they respond to our radio family. It's just amazing. I'm humbled by it every day. I run into someone every day. Today, I'm out walking, and I speak to a guy, and he knows who I am, and he tells me how much he enjoys the show, and that he actually suffered a stroke, and when he started his walking program back in order to rehab, our radio show helped him tremendously, and that's just above and beyond anything that I can ever imagine. I'm so humbled by that kind of thing.
Ah, and tonight Tennessee gets a win. Look, I realize they didn't score 40 points and blow a team out, and I know some people are going to say, you're telling me that's a better win than the Georgia game, and I'm going to tell you right now, look around college football today. Consider what an unpredictable proposition the game is from week to week. And Bino, I agree with you 1,000%. This is a game earlier in the year, kind of like the South Carolina game, where Tennessee, in that passing game, had about a C-minus effort and probably would have found a way to lose earlier in the year. Tonight, they were in control of that game from the very beginning. I don't know about you, but pre-kickoff, I thought Missouri probably was going to win the game, if I'm honest about it here. Post-kickoff, seeing those two teams on the field, seeing Missouri, Bino, the way they tried to attack Tennessee's defense, which is to say, laterally, I know this much. The way our guys run and the way our guys were flying around tonight, laterally is not going to get it done against the Tennessee Volunteers, Bino. I do know that much.
No, Tony, and our pass rush has improved tremendously. We did a couple of things tonight that were really pleasant surprises. We ran for about 250 yards against a team that gives up about 113 a game.
Yep.
And we were swarming defensively. You could tell it from the first snap. Even when we didn't make plays, we had three or four guys at the point of attack that could have made a play. So I was just real pleased with our effort, with our approach. It was a surprisingly easy win. I mean, I know that they battled to do it, but there was very little drama in that game.
I'm a big eyeball test guy. on your Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. I'm about 5 minutes from the Raymere studio, and I'll take some phone calls once I get in there. Mrs. B is manning the controls. We are truly, and I mean this, we're a family operation. I know some people think that's funny, and they think I'm rinky-dink and this and that. Those that don't understand what I do, I'm in business for myself. I own my own show. I am my own boss, thank God. I've got a wonderful team, and I say we have a wonderful team around us. We have wonderful sponsors like our friends at Smartway and Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, who said, hey, we'll jump on an app-only program. That's unheard of. And you've responded thousands and thousands strong. And I want to say this to you tonight. Your voice will be heard. We will be on the air till every last phone call is taken. And if that means 3 o'clock in the morning, then it'll mean 3 o'clock in the morning. So you will be heard.
I'll tell you this.
Go ahead.
If people don't understand the investment that it takes to run this type of radio show from your home, and just the fact that what you have done has given us the opportunity to have these post-game shows like this that can come on whenever we want them to come on, and go off whenever we want them to go off, and I thank you for it. Tony, Mississippi State just blocked what would have been about inside a 30-yard field goal, and they're going to beat Arkansas 51-50.
Wow. Bino, what I say to that is, I would rather see our game than that game. Your thoughts?
Yes. Oh, wow. I've told you, Tony, the Big 12 this year, I used to think, the Big 10's so boring with all that plotting football they play. I'd 10-1 rather see a game like we played than to see a flag football game like they play in the Big 12.
Yep.
Nightly.
It does not matter. At some point, I want quality over quantity, and flag football, if I wanted that, I would go watch the 50-yard indoor war. And look, Arena Football League has its place, but it's not on a 100-yard football field. And we've had some teams in our conference turn games in like that. Arkansas has kind of become and I know they beat Tennessee earlier this year. I'd love to get another crack at Arkansas because I think our guys were so hungover after the Florida game. And I'm not trying to be a high school Harry here. If you're an Arkansas fan, I'm not being dismissive of the Arkansas Razorbacks. I'm really not. But I'm convinced Tennessee sleptwalked through that game. They were dead on their feet after the Florida game. And let's talk about the Florida Gators for a second here, Bino, because Florida today, and Andre Ware, who, with all due respect, Tom Mattingly, and every paid sheep everywhere else. Andre Ware today is a complete paid sheep of the Southeastern Conference. For him, with a straight face, after two consecutive personal foul penalties on second and third down, on fourth and goal in overtime, with Florida, whatever they were, International, Atlantic, school for the overweight. What were they called? Florida, what was that today? FIU? Who was it?
It was FAU, Tony, not to be mistaken.
Florida,
FIU.
Okay.
I both stuck,
Florida,
but,
Bino, they had not one, but two consecutive pass interference penalties on the day.
No question.
And Andre Ware, instead of criticizing the officials, said, and I quote, and the refs are letting them play. Now,
yes.
Here'd be my question for Andre Ware. Hey, big boy, B-O-I, big boy, if you're playing quarterback and you're looking at the video the next day and you're at Houston and you're on the road to Florida, are you going to say the refs let them play there? The refs letting them play? No. You're going to say that's a disgrace and a miscarriage of justice. And I would love for those damn guys to just tell the damn truth. That runs all over me as somebody that has a modicum of intelligence and gray matter, a modicum, mind you. Tell the truth. That is horrendous. That's officiating to the check. That's officiating to the paycheck. And that's the SEC saying, you're not going to get out of our, you're not getting out of our building with a W. Am I lying, Bino?
No, absolutely not, Tony. FAU should have had it first and goal, needing a touchdown and an extra point to beat Florida. That's exactly what should have happened.
At the, like, 1 foot line. That's how that should have played out.
The SEC did not get what it deserved today. What it deserved was not only for the Citadel to beat South Carolina, but for FAU to beat Florida and Georgia Southern to beat Georgia for this horse manure scheduling the SEC does, this chicken manure scheduling they do every year in November.
Yep.
No wonder the rest of the conferences in America look at this and say, how do you keep those bunches up there in the top 25 when they're mailing it in November? I don't blame them. We are. That's the one thing that our detractors are correct about. We're absolutely the most chicken scheduling conference in America.
Well, and it's not only that, it's like at some point, Bino, I look at it, and you're right, because here's what's happened now. We saw it with Tennessee last week. You can't get guys up. They fall asleep. You know, they fall asleep on you, Bino.
Cowardly.
You can't keep kids interested.
It's just cowardly to play 8 conference games in a 14-team conference. That's cowardly. And that's, we deserve to say, hey, we're guilty of that when people throw that out there because it's the truth.
Cowardly is a great way of putting it. And what you had today, and it's a great point you bring up, you had a couple teams fall asleep today at the switch. And it, as sure as I'm sitting here, makes complete sense to me.
Tony, can I make a comment?
Please. Please do.
This may be off base, but Missouri's, and I know we took the crowd out of it, but Missouri's crowd did not look to be one in total support of what's going on in that program.
Meaning what?
Meaning I didn't see the passion from the Missouri fans that I expected to see.
Yes.
Under these circumstances, playing for bowl eligibility, Pinkel's last game.
Yep.
They looked like they could care less. And I don't know if it was the cold weather or what it was, but they certainly weren't as passionately united as their football team has been through this unrest. And just me gazing at the game on television. I wasn't there.
I think you're right.
That may be unfair, but that was my perception.
I think you're exactly right. And I'd be curious to hear from anyone that was in the house tonight if you got the same vibe. Let's go to the phones. Bino, I'm going to call you back on 4.
Okay.
Or
right.
Can you call me? Can you call me on 4 real quick?
I can.
All right, do that. Dubsy, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Great Russell Smith. Tennessee victorious tonight. Give me your first thoughts, and then we'll go to the phones.
I think I'm on the same page as you and Beanster. Workmanlike was the word I was thinking about coming over here, and you guys were on it, so I think we're all on the same page there. Nothing flashy about it, just kind of gutting it out, doing what you had to do, not making a ton of mistakes. Wasn't always pretty, but you get that seventh win. Looks like you're going to have a pretty good opportunity to get an eighth win next week against Vandy. And it's turning out to be a pretty decent season for Butch Jones. So it was, I thought, a solid
yep.
win.
And the bottom line is you've got to survive right now. Boston College down 19-16 to Notre Dame. We saw today college football is a crazy game. When you are a superior team, you've got to keep your playing the team you're playing in front of you. You can't give somebody life. And it's very interesting. It is very interesting to consider what a great game college football is for that reason, Russell. You literally do not know. You just don't know what you're going to get from one week to the next.
Oh,
you just don't.
Well, look at South Carolina and Florida.
You just don't.
Georgia.
You just don't.
I mean, it's tough, you know, and we jump all over Butch Jones
mm-hmm.
when he struggles to beat North Texas 24-0, but that's just college football, man. It's just sports these days.
I mean,
there's no such thing as completely dominant teams anymore, and you just have to figure out a way to win these games.
How about, before we go any further, Bino, and then we're going to get the phones in here, because I'm in a celebratory mood tonight. Tennessee's got 7, going to get to 8. How about this? I'm going to read to you a ticket for sale, Bino, that's right up your alley. Apparently this was going on a lot. Somebody just sent this to me. It's off Craigslist. You ready?
Ready.
I've had it with Missouri. Thank God this is the last home game. What a gutless administration. No more donations or support from this alum. I can't stand the PC going on with this once great university. The football team should be ashamed of themselves. 2 tickets for the Tigers Vols, Section R, Row 20, $75 face value. Take the pair for $115. Update. Tickets have been sold, and thankfully they went to Tennessee fans. Nice couple. Hope they have a great time watching the Vols destroy these pampered, obnoxious Tigers. My advice to every Mizzou alum is not to give another dime to this university until they start acting like adults and stop caving in the 19-year-old pampered athletes and start teaching these students the skills they need to get a job and not the liberal crap that they are force-fed. I think, Bino, I think a lot of those people, that was a dead deal tonight from Missouri, and I think there probably is something to what you're saying.
Their stadium definitely was not a safe place.
It was not a safe. No, not for their football team. It was not. We'll go to
hey
the guys.
You're talking about probably if he's not the best coach in program history, he's real close. There weren't 100 people left there when the game was over. They did not. They weren't having any of that stance. And the truth is, I understand it somewhat.
Butch Jones, twice in the press conference, mentioned that none of his players were wearing sleeves in the cold, and he's very, very proud of that. Let's go to the phones.
It's critical.
Yeah, let's see now. Now, Butch doesn't want his team to wear sleeves. But he was sure bundled up pretty good.
Let's go to the phones without further ado. It's your Smart Way Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction.
Gloves.
Butch was bundled up to the gills. The place where you're the star of the game. The place where we will celebrate what else happened around college football today. Because we celebrate college football here. Including Ohio State losing to Michigan State. And Bino, we had standing room only, literally standing room only, where we were tonight. and at Cassie's, and people let out a gigantic roar when Michigan State made that field goal to send Urban Cryer into the wilderness.
Now, you can't be on cruise control for 2.5 months and
nope.
flip the switch. It doesn't work.
Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. It looks like Oklahoma State is going to go down in defeat as they're down 10 to Baylor. Under 5 minutes to play in that game. Oklahoma State just had a onside kick recovered by Baylor, and now the Bears are driving with the football. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our calls in, our first call of the night. How can you go back to the phones? Well, I'm out of practice. Let's welcome in our first caller on your SmartWay Dalton Behring Hydraulic Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys, the first thing I want to do is thank you guys for being in there so
thank
I don't
you.
Have to listen to that Tennessee postgame show over on the state-run radio.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to touch on a couple of non-Tennessee games, and I'm going to sandwich that in with a Tennessee game. But it pains my heart to see here on ESPN.com that Ezekiel Elliott is just ripping Urban Meyer and saying he's out of there. He's going pro, to heck with those guys.
What?
When he had 15 consecutive 100-yard games coming into today, and he got 12 carries for 33 yards. And he is just absolutely ripping Urban Meyer. After they had that party up there with the ESPN game day with Kirk Herbstreit and Archie Griffin and all the Ohio State buddies, doesn't that make you guys feel bad?
Oh, I'm tore up. You know who else I'm tore up for? And I can say this because I can say this because I can say it. I'm really tore up for John Cooper, who you'll like this, Jake. John Cooper, Dubs, you heard about this? You talked to anybody from the quarterback club?
Mm-mm.
He came in here and spoke, I want to say 2 weeks back at the quarterback club. He sat there for, a entire 35-minute speech. How would I describe this to you? He performed on Urban Meyer. Would be a way I would put it. He sat there and sucked up to Urban Meyer and just the entire Ohio State University. Didn't say a word about this place, growing up here, none of that. I heard it from several people, said it's the worst thing they've ever heard. Hey, John Cooper, brother, today was for you too. And all you people down in Teleco, for you. Tough night at the boat dock. Tough night at the boat dock tonight down in Teleco, Jeker.
I'd say half of them are elated. Half of them are from Michigan.
That's a good point.
And I was reading in this article, Ezekiel Elliott spent the first couple of days this week in the hospital with he had a bad scratch on his leg with an infection that they said was just unbelievably painful. And he comes out there today, and he looks great, and he's jumping around, and he's all motivated to play, and they don't give him the football. He just ripped the play calling. You'll get on there on ESPN.com and read the article. It's pretty good stuff. Another one I want to touch on is poor Frank Beamer. Did you guys see the last play of that game?
Yes.
Now
was
Beano,
not a catch.
Now let's rip instant replay again. Here's the
yeah.
deal. If you're going to have instant replay, and Tony, you know what we've complained about is how long it takes them to review a play. Right?
I'm 100% with you so far. You are killing it on this phone call. Continue.
Okay. All right. The last play of the game, and I thought for sure it was a catch. And my son says, Daddy, he's bobbling that ball. As he goes to the ground, it was overtime. Virginia Tech had kicked a field goal. North Carolina throws one in the corner of the end zone. The guy is bobbling the ball, and I didn't I thought it was a catch until I reviewed the replay. Well, when you review the replay, he's bobbling it until he goes to the ground out of bounds. So it shouldn't have been a catch. When they went to the review, you know how long they reviewed that thing? No longer than 30 seconds. And they come back and said the play stands.
You know what they have now? You know what they have now for the first time in ages in the ACC? They have a conference championship game that's actually going to matter. That's what they have.
And
they want it to matter. And they want it to matter. Yep.
And they wanted North Carolina in that championship game.
No question. They want a 11-1 football team in that championship game. There's no doubt about that.
And guys, if North Carolina could beat Clemson, they would have a claim to get up in the top four because they'd be a one-loss football team that did something that Notre Dame could not do. And that's beat Clemson.
That's a great point. And I'll tell you something else. It almost would guarantee them a team, regardless of what happened in that championship game. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. College football is so screwy right now. It is so beyond screwy.
It's almost getting like boxing.
There's no doubt. I'm going to tell you something. You go back and you watch those two plays that Andre Ware today in that Florida game, Dubsy, called the officials are letting them play.
Yeah.
That is a damn disgrace to talk. And Tom Hart, God bless Tom Hart, he's sitting right next to him. Tom, you should have said, those are two back-to-back pass interference penalties. I know you guys work for the league. I get it. We all get it. You got to be honest, though, with the viewer, don't you?
That crew takes sheepiness to a whole new level.
Don't you have to be honest with the viewer at that point and go, God, that's two egregious calls for this poor school that's cashing a paycheck to get ripped off like that.
I mean,
why bother showing up?
Kirk Herbstreit's bought and paid for, but he would have called that for what it is. I mean, we've seen plenty of other well-known color commentators rip officiating crews when it's that blatant.
All right, Jeker, wrap it up into a Tennessee bow. Go ahead.
Okay, one other thing. I'm so glad to see that Butch Jones finally realized that Jalen Hurd needs over 30 carries a game. He got 34 carries tonight. But he needs to realize also that Alvin Kamara needs about 15 carries instead of 7. I mean, if we could get that, how about 30 and 15 instead of 34 and 7?
I'm going to tell you something. We'd have a special, special running game if we ever decided to run it. But, Jake, thank you. Great phone call. And I do mean that. Great phone call. Great effort out of Jeker tonight. Tennessee wins 19-8. Let me give you some of the numbers. Because Hurd tonight goes for 151. He averages 4.4 yards per carry. 31 is as long on 34 attempts. Kamara continues to blow my alleged mind. Dubsy tonight, he only carries the ball 7 times, 43 yards, 6.1 yards per carry. Kamara is averaging over 1.25 yards per carry more, or close to a yard and a half more than Hurd on the season. I mean, Kamara has been lights out.
They're both awesome. And, I don't think you guys are giving Tennessee's run game enough credit, man. They're running for over 250-plus yards a game. That's probably the best number Tennessee's had since, well over 10 years. Hurd and Kamara, they're special. And, you know, Dobbs tonight doesn't have a great night throwing the ball, so you got to lean on them. And they were there for you, and they grinded it out. I mean, this is something that Tennessee hasn't been able to do. How long have we been complaining about, well, you can't line up and get a yard when you have to have it? Tennessee's pushing people around this year.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Jeker, you're being called out by Go Big Orange, who says you want 45 combined carries. They had 41. I mean, do the math. Tennessee was dominant tonight in that run game.
I don't see how you can question the.
No.
Well, another thing, 30's an awful lot for one running back. I do think Kamara needs to carry the ball a little more, but you have to count balls he catches too. How many catches did he have tonight?
Kamara tonight in the game had 4 catches. For 23 yards.
He needs a few more touches than that, but what is that, 11, 12 touches?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good number for him.
He needs 15 or so, but we're in the ballpark anyway.
Again, Tennessee shortened rotation. Tonight, Von Pearson has become a favorite receiver here down the stretch. 7 catches tonight, 28 yards. Tennessee only throws for 89 yards in a victory. And again, I call that. And only averaged 5.6 yards per reception on the night.
Pearson's all they got at this point. Everybody else is banged up.
Which is nice. Shorten the rotation. Tonight's game, I 1,000% love the way it was managed. Keep the game right in front of you. The only criticism I have is just that weird icing of your own kicker. That's all. That's all. And I know... I debated it with some people there at Cassie's, but there's just no need to walk out there and do. You're winning 9-0, kick a field goal, and say to that team, okay, if you keep giving us 3, the next time we come down here, we're going to make it 15. Right. And you guys can't score 15 points against us.
I'm not going to criticize them for that. I like that. You had a chance to draw them off sides and get an easy first down and continue to score a touchdown. I like the imagination.
You iced your kicker.
I mean, it's a short field goal. If he's mentally fragile, it doesn't matter.
You iced your kicker on a cold night. You put him out there and you iced him.
The second quarter?
You left him out there for 5.5 minutes. By the time you come back from that break, it's 5.5 minutes. Time, of course it is. With Bino. You walk him out there and you kick a field goal. Bino, am I wrong?
I wouldn't have done that, Russell. Now, if I was going to do it, I wouldn't have run the guy up under center. That's a dead giveaway. We're not snapping it. Leave him back there in the backfield and let him clap.
But the problem is you've gotten Missouri to jump offside several times already. Why not take a chance? The guy's made 2 field goals. He appears to be into the game.
Yeah.
It's not a long field goal.
Yeah.
I think it was worth the risk.
Let's go back to our phones, get our next call in. Hello and welcome on your Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic 5th quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, Tom, this is Eric.
Hey, Eric, welcome in, man.
Hey, I was at the watch party tonight.
Your family is precious. Your two boys were so into it. That 17-year-old young man that you introduced me to is beyond next level. Both of those kids. You're a blessed man, and thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us. That was a blessing, man.
Yeah, and thank you, man. I'm gonna tell you, we went to the 2007 SEC championship, first football game I ever got to take these guys to, and mm-hmm. We got done with that and lost, and they cried. I mean, these guys, wherever we've lived, they've worn the orange all the time. Doesn't matter. Birmingham, Cartersville, Vidalia, doesn't matter. They always in it. But hey, listen, first try through tonight, first ring, picked right up. I'm telling you, my process for getting through continues to work. That resiliency, that consistency, man, that process, and it's getting me on the phone every time you guys. I love it.
You're a very fortunate individual, I'll tell you that.
I'm getting 1% better every day too, man. Hey, and no sleeves with me tonight too. No sleeves. Right now, I had to go sleeveless. I felt a little, I had sleeves earlier, but at any rate, hey, I'm going to say a couple things. I think Tennessee, beat Missouri the way that Missouri had been beating a lot of other folks in the last few years, that they just smothered you with defense, just said, we're going to win ugly, it doesn't matter, we're going to take care of business. You know, when what Tennessee has done in the last few games seems like they come out the tunnel with that sugar rush and they get going and then they fall off. There wasn't any let off. There wasn't any drop off for them tonight. They were consistent. They were consistent the whole game through. They stuck with it and they pretty much stuck it to Missouri and they got on top and stayed there. Tom, what did I tell you earlier in the week? I emailed you and I told you, I said, the cold, the Gary Pinkel, the unrest, bah. Fish posh. They're going to take care of this. You know, if Tennessee can hang with three teams in the college football playoff and have fourth quarter leads on them, three of the top eight teams, then they're going to take care of a 5-5 Missouri team. I really did believe that.
How about this? How about this? Add one more to your list, because if you want to go count the whole entire 2015, the team that probably is going to have the four slot when it's announced on Tuesday, even though we can't believe this, is a team they beat the living hell out of in that bowl game. And I know it makes no sense.
Yeah.
But that Iowa team is going to be sitting there, Russell, probably in the four slot. Now, I know they're not going to make a playoff. But it just speaks to how all around this thing, how close this Tennessee team is,
yeah,
Eric, to being that good. And
that's right.
And I'm still with Jason Swain, who says that Josh Dobbs has to become a better passer of the football if Tennessee's
sure
going to be in that category. And we saw it tonight.
Well, that one to Josh Smith that stands out.
You got to make that throw. Yeah. I mean, tonight you got to make that throw.
End of your junior year, you've started 20 plus, maybe 30 ball games.
You got to make that throw.
Well, and I wonder, somebody just tweeted this to us too, I wonder if there's an injury there, because he didn't attempt many throws more than 10 yards downfield, and he wasn't very accurate all night long. I wonder if his shoulder injury or something. He's a little banged up.
Wow.
He's taking a lot of hits.
It's an interesting thought.
Well, that's what you know, last week, it's like, my gosh, why don't you go ahead and start Dormady, give him the game, give Dobbs the rest.
Agreed.
He needs it. You know what I mean? And hey, I saw something else tonight too. I really like this. But did I see us rush five on third down? Did we rush five on third down? Well, that's nice. Usually we're sending three. Tonight we got after them. We stayed after them, and it paid off. I felt like if we start scoring, their offense is all time bad. They're going to take care of business. There was no rush with these guys. There was no, you know, nervous energy. They had it, you know. They did to Missouri what Missouri has been doing to other folks. So, once again, break another streak. Take care of Gary Pinkel's home finale, you know. And listen, when you can take a coach like Pinkel, who's got, 190-plus wins out in his home finale, and you can take care of that and get the win, then that's a big deal. That's some really good stuff, and they did it. I mean, it's been eons, feels like it's been eons ago, but Tennessee ruined Steve Spurrier's own finale too down at Florida. That was nice.
You know what? I bet you, thinking of Spurrier, it's funny, Eric, you brought him up, because I bet you Spurrier was watching tonight's game and going, man, Gary should have quit 2 weeks ago. He need to put himself through that. That's how Spurrier rolls. I mean, Spurrier wasn't going to stick around and watch his team lose the Citadel. I mean, he built a team that lost the Citadel, but I'll let some other schlep have that loss. Spurrier was probably turned to his wife at one point tonight and said, yeah, well, Gary should, he should just go ahead and quit. He should just go ahead and quit. Because that's what Spurrier does, and he gets worship for it, so you can't beat that. That's not bad work if you can get it.
Yeah. But Gary, this is the difference between Finkel and Spurrier, though. I look at Gary Pinkel and, you know, agree with him or not, I see a guy that really loves and cares about the players that he's got there. You know, I get that kind of vibe from him, and I don't follow him that close or anything, but I get that from him. With Spurrier, always seemed like he was in it for himself, you know.
Yeah, he's the show. Steve Spurrier is the show. I mean, talk to guys that play for him. He's the show.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Gary. Gary, thanks, man. Thanks again. Great seeing your family, buddy. That was fun.
Good to see you, boss. Take care.
That's a lot of fun. Eric in South Georgia. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402 is our number if you want to get in with us tonight. I am Tony Basilio of your Tony Basilio Show, heard every day right here at TonyBasilio.com from and on your Basilio phone app from 11 Eastern till 1. And if you miss a program, we also have it on demand for you virtually 24/7. I've got Russell Smith with me as well, who is an afternoon drive host here in town. along with Rich E.D. They get it done. And Beano the Great is joining right now as well, who has really been just a fixture in my radio family for many, many years, my dysfunctional radio family. I want to remind you that our program is presented by our friends at Smartway and Dalton Behring and Hydraulics. And let me tell you about Smartway. Online at gosmartway.net. I saw the great Vince Keller tonight. This is his operation. And Vince turned to me tonight when he saw that we were turning folks away literally at Cassie's. And he said, "Tony, doesn't surprise me one bit." He said, "We have gotten such a great response from what we've done with you. And so thank you for that." What Smartway does do is they provide a great service. They're located at 8416 Kingston Pike. And they are the everything for home, pay your way, be smart, buy smart. They are the home of the Smartway. And furniture, appliances, electronics, cell phones, tires, they're gaining new product lines every day. And they're creating a way for you to get the things that you want and need in a way that is not going to break the bank. And when you set up a payment plan with them, if you want to change the terms of the payment plan, cool, they got you. If you want to pay something off in time, cool, they've got you. Smartway, ladies and gentlemen, will take great care of you. Go check out their line of new smartphones they have there each and every day. All the great manufacturers like Samsung, LG, Blue, even the latest iPhones. It's all there at Smartway. Check them out, 8416 Kingston Pike, online at gosmartway.net. As we go back to our phones, get our next call in, we keep it commercial break free. And let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony.
Yes.
Baby Love.
Hey, Baby Love, welcome in.
What's going on, man?
Just knocking it out here tonight, enjoying that workmanlike win. Very proud of that football team getting their seventh win on the year against four defeats.
I am too, and you know what the reality is give the coaching staff some credit because they didn't do anything fancy tonight, and I think that's probably why we won the football game as easily as we
yep.
did. The
yep.
only way that we lose is if we come out and do stupid stuff, trying to throw it around, get down early, maybe turn over the ball. Give them a shot when they didn't have one. And we just stuck to the game plan. Herd and a lot of herd. Mix in some Kamara, and they weren't
yep.
going to be.
Yep.
Kick
yep.
field goals when you can kick field goals.
Yep.
Don't do anything dumb, and they can't beat you. And it was a pretty easy win. And give them credit. They could have tried to pour it on and score 40, but that was the only way they won is if we did that and we turned the ball over.
All right. You know, there were a couple people in there that were getting on Mike DeBoard during that game, and I said, "What?" And I said it right to people, I just keep it real. What do you want? First of all, you're playing a defense that's great. Secondly, you're playing an offense that can't play. So really, in a lot of ways, in that game, 3 points feels like seven. A 9-0 lead in that game feels like you've got a good offense down 20-0, baby. Love, it does.
It does. And give our guys some credit on the defensive end. Kirkland's getting better. Rush has gotten better. The rush has gotten a lot better. And you know what? Give our guys some credit last week when everybody ripped them a new one that we didn't play hard. You watch Georgia Southern almost beat Georgia. You watch Florida whatever almost beat Florida. You watched another guys in our league lose a game. And you know what? We went out against that 12th game has become a game where all year you go, "This is a preseason game. We don't have to play this 12th game." You know what I'm saying?